Welcome to Cotch Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Coleman, a co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be looking back at the 2-1 loss for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough in the FA Cup. Mike was there, so he's going to give us his perspective on what he saw. We have much to get through, so I'm going to go right to Mike and get him on. Mike, how you doing?
Hi, Russ. Yeah, really good. Had a nice Sunday, and now looking forward to talking about yesterday's game despite the result. You know, there's quite a few positives to come from it.
I think so, Mike. You know, listen, I listened to it and I watched it back today, and I found it very interesting. So I'm looking forward to going through this with you because I agree with you. I think that there are several positives to take out of this loss, and we'll go through it. You know, obviously you would rather win, but there's some good things to take out of this. But before we go any further, I do want to just get your take on this because, again, the announcement was made just as we were about to go to air about Collie Woodrow. So I'm going to read this and then get your thoughts on it. Again, this is right on the Fulham website. We are recording this Sunday. So, again, just to keep that in mind when you do listen to the show, it's Woodrow Injury Update. This is right on the Fulham website. Collie Woodrow is set to be sidelined for the next 10 to 12 weeks following an injury sustained in the FA Cup third round against Sheffield Wednesday. The club's medical staff has revealed that an X-ray confirmed a fracture in the fifth metatarsal. After specialist assessment, it has been decided that Collie will undergo surgical repair on Monday, and a 10 to 12-week period of recovery is expected. Wow. That's some bad news for Collie Woodrow there, and also for Fulham Football Club. Mike, what are your thoughts about the breaking news?
Yeah, it's really disappointing because he had his chance, you know, to start again yesterday. I mean, he'd scored two goals in his last start. So, it happened at a corner. I don't know how he did it, whether somebody stepped on his foot or he twisted it somehow. But, metatarsal is never good to injure. 10 to 12 weeks, you're looking at the end of March and middle of April. So hopefully he's going to be fit for the, you know, last half dozen games maybe. But what it does do is it gives Smith a chance, maybe Taggart, although I know he's on international duty for a week or so. But it also means, you know, we really cannot allow Dembele to go, leaving
That's
us
right.
so short. So our hand might be forced in the fact that, you know, you can't really continue the rest of the season just with McCormick and Smith and Taggart, really. So even if Dembele went, you need to bring someone in because you need to have four strikers. So it's bad news for Woodrow, good news for others. And, you know, I think it keeps Dembele here no matter what happens.
I totally agree with that. And listen, I'm sorry to hear what happened to Collie Woodrow, and I wish him a speedy recovery. And like you said, Mike, hopefully he'll be ready by the end of the season to come back and play. And it's unfortunate, but my first thought when I saw the injury, again, was feeling bad for him. And right after that, I was thinking, well, they can't afford to let Moussa Dembele go, Mike. And this kind of gives them a built-in excuse with Dembele to say, hey, we need you. You know, we can't afford to let you go.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think, you know, for a few million pounds, we are technically, you could argue, in a relegation struggle and we still need to get some wins. I mean, we're on such a bad run. It's difficult to see where the next win's going to be, but we need all our players, really. And Dembele's key for that. He got a goal yesterday. So I think for the sake of a few million pounds, I think you just bite the bullet and keep him.
I totally agree with that, Mike. In fact, I wanted them to keep him regardless, I think even now it's even more imperative to hold on to him based on the injury situations with the strikers. You know, again, you need him. So he might want to go, but I find it very hard for Fulham to let him go at this point with the situation that they have the transfer embargo. I mean, they could find one on loan, but I think they're best holding on to him. And then if they get a little, you know, if they have to, you know, if he leaves at the end of the season, so be it. You know, if that's going to be the result, so be it. But we'll have to see how this all plays out. All right. All right there, Mike. Before I get your take, what I thought I would do is I wanted to read you some quotes from Jamie O'Hara. I thought he played very well when I watched the replay today. But I want to get your thoughts on what he shared and then your opening statement, because I want to see if what he shared matches what you watched. Okay, so I'm just going to read to you some quotes from him, because I found them interesting, because it also talks about the approach of the Fulham head coach. So I'm just going to go through and just share with you some quotes. Again, this is right on the Fulham website from Jamie O'Hara. Quote, "We're gutted, to be honest. I feel like we completely dominated the game. We had some fantastic chances to put them away in the second half. That is always the problem away from home. If you don't take your chances, you are always at risk. You can allow them to grow into the game, and that is exactly what happened. They scored another goal, and then we are chasing it at the end." And then obviously talking about the goal, having fallen behind to a Barry Bannon Thunderbolt in the 42nd minute, O'Hara was pleased with the resilience and fight showed by the team to get straight back into the match just before the stroke of halftime. "It's the best time to score," Jamie said. When we conceded the goal, we went straight back on the front foot and took it to them. Straight from the kickoff, we went back in the game, and that was perfect for us because it meant we could go in the halftime and not change the team talk. We got done by another wonder strike for them, and there is just nothing that you can do about it. It was right in the top corner, and you just have to hold your hands up." And he goes on, he goes, "We can take plenty of positives out of the game as a team. We pressed high, pressed after them, and that is what the coach had asked from us. We are aggressive all over the pitch. When we lost it, we didn't drop off. We tried to win the back ball back straight away, and that is what the coach has asked us to do. It's been a bit of a change getting used to that, obviously. We haven't got the results yet, but hopefully they will come." And then he talks about his role, you know, again, sitting deep. He says, "I like to sit. I like to get on the ball and dictate the game. I'm trying to do my best for the team wherever I play, and we'll play wherever the coach wants me to play. I can play in the two. I can play in the three. But I think where I am at my best is when I am deep, lying role and trying to dictate the tempo of the team. The coach came in after the game and told us not to get too downbeat. We dominated the game. If we had our chances, we would have won the match. We want to remain positive. We have another massive game on Tuesday in the league. We need to look up the table and start getting some results. If we play like we did today, we will be fine." Again, those are all quotes from Jamie O'Hara that you can actually read yourself on the Fulham website, but I wanted to just read them to Mike and Mike, to get your thoughts on that, and then also see if they match up with what you watched.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, some of the things he said. I mean, if we go back to the player versus player matchup show we did a couple of days ago, and O'Hara, and I mentioned, didn't I, that you know, he played a more advanced role last week, but he's much better, I think, sitting a bit deeper, and he's just clarified that as well. So, you know, that's quite good for us. I mean, he is the long ball passer. He likes to, you know, keep the ball moving and, you know, switch in play. And he is better in that deeper role. And I thought yesterday he personally had his best game for quite a while. And, you know, he's been off form maybe the last half dozen, 10 games or so. But he was back to the way he was first dozen games, really, you know. And that's a positive from that. And, you know, playing next to Ken, he was interesting. And I'll get onto that later. But everything else he said, we did dominate the game for much of it. I mean, you watched it. We were camped in their half. I was saying on Twitter yesterday, lots of possession. But we were actually playing that, you know, maybe 10, 20 yards further forward. And, you know, instead of passing the ball around just outside our own 18-yard box, we were, you know, almost on the centre circle. And so you can see what they've been doing in training. They are trying to close down a lot more, work harder. And he says about, you know, they're getting used to it. And I think, you know, after the 6 or 7 weeks where they've had, you know, three different coaches, those players, you know, their minds, as Djukanovic said, they're a bit confused. So they need to settle down. He's the boss. Take the instructions from him, and it will come. And let's remember, he's only had two games in charge, both against the same team. They've scored three goals, two of them worldy goals. So, and yesterday was an improvement on last week. So that's all you can really ask.
I agree with that, Mike. And what's interesting is, you know, again, it's a process, you know, getting his system into the players, getting it ingrained into them, but also it's the confidence, you know, and that comes with victories. But like you said, is it safe to say, Mike, you've seen improvement from the first match under Jokanović, whichever way you want to say it, to this match now? Have you seen, you know, have you seen that they're starting to implement what he wants them to do?
I thought what was noticeable yesterday was that it was 4-4-2, so it was a different formation than last week. And although we tried to press more and play further up the field, we were still looking at keeping the ball. But the sort of interplay that they were trying for the first half hour last week, that wasn't there. So yesterday was almost like watching the team go back to basics with just a few more instructions. So very similar style to what we have been playing, even in, you know, before he came in. Maybe a bit more passing on the floor and harder work. So maybe after last week's sort of, you know, half hour and an hour of not doing so well, he's sort of simplified it, I think. So let's get some basics right first. Let's work on the closing down. Let's work on trying to play a bit further up the pitch. And, you know, and that certainly came off yesterday.
It certainly did, Mike. You know, again, that's what's interesting about all this. You know, again, I obviously want Fulham to win every single match. But I can look at this and, you know, again, watching it, someone's been complaining to me that I say again, and I keep doing it again. So I apologize for that. But what's interesting is when I did watch it, I just felt like at times, like you said, dominating. It almost felt like we were the home team. I know we're not the home team, but just the way that we took control of the match, and the stats are going to back all this up. Forget about possession. We know that possession is going to be in favor of Fulham, but it's the other stats that are interesting. But for me, Mike, it's the intent. Like you said, maybe stripping it back, going back to basics, and then building from there, Mike, because there is a lack of confidence. You have to start over, and I think this is what's going on.
Well, I mean, you know, the lack of confidence. We're on such a bad run. You can sort of understand that. And it's about, you know, giving the players a fairly simple system just to try and, you know, get a result from somewhere and take it from there. What's telling for me yesterday is, and we spoke about it certainly before Christmas and when Kit was in charge, is that we were built as an away team. And so even at home, you know, we played sort of on the counter, allowed teams to, you know, have the ball a bit more. And whereas yesterday we were taking the game to them. So, like I say, it's little steps, but I do want to clarify something. There's a lot of criticism after the game yesterday. You know, a few of the fans who went, we were saying, you know, unlucky, we could have won and all this. And then other people were sort of saying, well, you know, happy to lose and, you know, you don't want to lose a cup game. Let's be clear. We all want to win games.
Absolutely.
But I saw yesterday almost as a free pass for Jokanović. He's playing the same team as last week and, you know, a chance to see a couple of other players. And so, yes, there was a cup game at stake, but it wasn't 3 points at stake, which is far more important. So, yes, disappointing to lose, but as I say, it's a step towards hopefully getting 3 points on Tuesday and taking that into Saturday as well and onwards. So, yeah, I just wanted to clarify that because I saw a few comments and no one's happy to lose and we'd love to have won and got through to the next round, but it wasn't to be. But we go forward in what is more important, which is the league and get momentum for the rest of the season.
I totally agree with that, Mike. Before we break down the game into two halves, the one thing I want to ask you, I want to talk about the differences between Sheffield Wednesday and Fulham right now. Because I was speaking to David off-air, and I mentioned to him that, for me, a good part of this is confidence. The difference between the two, a team that is well-drilled, that does exactly what the manager wants them to do, and, again, that is farther along in their progression, you know. A team that's difficult to beat and takes advantage of their opportunities when they get them, you know. And that's, to me, the difference, you know. When they have their opportunities, they score. When Fulham had their opportunities, They did score once, but they had more opportunities and did not score enough. So I guess you could say, for me, Mike, it seems like it's one team that knows how to win and another team that is learning how to win. Did I analyze that correctly?
Yeah, so I understand where you're coming from now. I mean, they're also, let's be honest, they're a little bit of a bogey side with us now. And, you know, if they want to score some cracking goals, we're the team to play against for them. And you had that in football. You come against teams where you can never get a result against. But it's interesting now, having seen all the games against Sheffield Wednesday over the last two seasons, certainly this year they are much more dynamic than they were under Gray. But they, you know, they have some decent players. They're on a good run. They're in a good position in the league. And so we have to compare ourselves against them. And, you know, we're not quite at that level confidence-wise, but ability-wise, I don't... What the difference for me in the two teams watching yesterday is a bit of physicality and what we always moan about, and that's lack of pace. So we're a bit more urgent, you know, moving the ball a bit quicker, taking throws a bit quicker and free kicks, but lack of pace and dynamism is not there at the moment. And I don't think we can improve the pace side because our players don't have it. And so you'd have to do that in the summer. But that's what I see. People who can break quick and be positive. And we still have a tendency to break and just a couple of players slow the game down. I don't think they do it deliberately. It's just they haven't got the pace to get past players and we haven't kept up with them. So, you know, we look at them and we see where we have to match them and improve. And Jukanovic knows the league. He got Watford up last year, so he's going to know exactly what we require going forward.
Okay. And it's very interesting because the one thing that stood out for me, and you were really talking about, again, lack of pace, I definitely see that physicality and the ability to really get the ball quickly, move it quickly, and you know, again, it's one pass and they're on their way, and that's what was interesting about them compared to us. And they obviously took advantage of their opportunities at a better clip over these three matches. So, you know, you got to give them credit. They won the match. We did not win the match. So you have to give Sheffield Wednesday credit. All right, Mike, let's go to the first half, and you know, again, just to share just a couple quick things, and then I want your take of, you know, Fulham actually had an opportunity early on in the 21st minute with a header from Sean Hutchinson that's followed up 20 minutes later, 42nd minute, by the wonder goal by Barry Bannon. But 1 minute later, we get the goal by Moussa Dembele. And we also had an opportunity to potentially go in the half up 2-1. A wonderful chance from Ross McCormack, but he could not score there. All right, Mike, what's your take of the first half?
Well, I'll go back to the lineup first, though, Russ.
I'm sorry. There's a Goldman. I didn't even go to our starting 11.
That's fine. So the 11 came out, and again, going back to Thursday's show, mentioned about seeing Hutchison and Byrne play together, and there they were lining up. It was interesting to see Stearman dropped, and actually in the warm-up, the person I was standing with, I mentioned we saw Pringle, Stearman and Ream all warming up as subs, kicking the ball to each other. You know, three of our main signings, if you like, and there they are relegated to the bench. I know it's only a cup game, but, you know, does that raise some questions? And so then who was going to play in the middle? Was it going to be LVC? I hoped it would be. And would we see Kaká on the left? But in the end, it was Kaká and LVC on the right and on the left, so on their opposite sides, and, you know, Cairney, O'Hara in the middle. And the interesting one for me is I'm not convinced Cairney is the right man for a two-man midfield, and I'll get onto that later how he did. And then, of course, Woodrow starting, so, which I think was the right thing to do. So it was an interesting lineup, and then when they kicked off, we saw their positions they had, so... Disappointment in Kaká being on the right yet again, but good to see LVC start again. And then going into the half, I mean, we've already spoken about Woodrow getting injured, which was, you know, very disappointing. You could see as soon as he hobbled off, he was going to get change to Dembele. But initially, you know, we had some good chances. O'Hara had a bit of a low skimming shot, you know, not much pace behind it. We had plenty of pressure. I didn't think the first 10, 15 minutes Wednesday troubled as much. Actually, I don't think they troubled as hugely throughout the game. As you say, no, exactly. And, you know, Hutchison had a header from a corner, which was good because that's one thing we've been very critical on all the shows is, you know, we're not getting on the end of corners. So, you know, that was good for Hutchison. And, you know, we had some half chances. And any chances that Wednesday gave tended to come from us losing the ball in their half possession-wise. I mean, Kearney, you know, him and O'Hara were linking up well. LVC wasn't really getting down the wing, and nor was Garbutt, because Garbutt's got Wallace on his side, and so he was being a bit more defensive. But I thought Richards and Kaká, to be fair, they did link up well. You may have seen that when you watched the highlights for us, or the whole game. But certainly in the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought, you know, without an end result, they were actually doing quite well over on that side. So throughout that half, I thought we were doing really well. And then, you know, what goes and happens, Kearney fails to really clear the ball out on the right-hand side. Could have done better stopping the cross come in. And, you know, ball comes out and there's Bannon to say, yeah, let's score another top of the net goal from the edge of the box, yeah? But I'm going to be very critical of Hutchison there.
I think you should be, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if you watch the replay, he doesn't close down quick enough. And then when he stops and turns completely and... I really don't expect my centre-backs to be worried about their face or anything. They've got to throw themselves at the ball and stop it. And so I think he could have done a lot better there. Lonergan's reaction towards Kearney and towards Hutchison was a picture. You wouldn't have seen that on the TV, but because it was scored right in front of us. And, yeah, he was going a bit mental, I have to say. And I can't blame him because, you know, for most of the game we had, defended really well. You know, Garbutt gave them one chance, but in the first half where he intercepted a player in the box, sort of ran the ball a little bit long and they shot over. But there were other interceptions where Hutchison did well, Byrne did well. So it was disappointing, you know. Had so much of the play and you're one down, another scream and you think, oh, here we go again. But fair dues, you know, a minute or so later, Kearney does really well, makes up for the mistake he made.
Absolutely.
On the halfway line, beats two or three players, gives the ball to, you know, great pass to Ross, who has a shot, comes off the bloke's heel, and Dembele is there, and he puts it away, and we're back in the game, and fully deserved as well. And I will say the fans, and there was a good number of us there yesterday, went absolutely mental, and because... you realise there's a team that's really trying hard. They're on a bad run and we've been playing well and we got what we deserved there, you know, got back in the game. And then I thought we had two really good chances. I thought Ross should have done better with his chance right on half-time. You know, the ball did come down from a long way, but he did kill it and I thought he could have got a shot off a bit quicker and maybe with his left as well. And then the cross by... Kaká where no one was there, which was disappointing. Yeah. And then it was half time. So we went in, but you know, we were confident and we'd been positive and there were a lot of good performances there and yeah, very happy to go in 1-1.
You know, Mike, I think that was well deserved and like you said, there were two opportunities late on in the first half to go up ahead, but I'll take 1-1 at the half after that. And you know, then we move on to the second half and this was a very interesting second half, and Fulham came out strong. 90 seconds into the second half, you have the header by Dembele, you know, again, right to the keeper, but it was a very strong header. And then a little bit later on after that, Dembele had a shot blocked, you know, so the opportunities kept coming. And then, of course, we have to talk about this. I definitely want your take on Kaká's miss, set up beautifully by Kearney. We have to talk about that. I have to talk to you about that. And I also want to talk about their goal because, again, I've watched this back several times, and you and I asked you off air, you know, the play leading up to it. There were two situations leading up to it. It was the foul by Hutchinson, and then of course, the header out of bounds, and I've watched it several times. You told me you thought it went off of Richards. I've watched it several times. I thought it went off of Lee, but, you know, that's the interesting thing is we could definitely talk about it, but it's just an interesting part of that second half that I don't think has been talked about a great deal, you know, that situation that led up to the goal. So I definitely want to get your thoughts on that, Mike. So share with me your thoughts on what you watched in the second half.
Okay, I mean, I won't go through all the chances we had. I mean, Dembele, he was very close to the keeper. He should have scored, but, you know, it was probably only a yard between him and the keeper, so to get it past him, he would have done really well. But it was a good chance. It was a good cross by Richard, who, again, you know, we've been critical of, but he did deliver that very well. The Kaká miss. Well, I actually did a periscope of we had a free kick, and I don't know if you've watched it, Russ, but I said before we took it, it's going to hit the wall, and it did. Anyway, kept it running, and we ended up on the wing, and Kearney gets across in, and we're there. You know, I'm right in line with him. How does it not even just accidentally hit him and go in? I have no idea. I'm not even going to say it was a bobble. I don't know. The only excuse, and there is no real excuse, but the only excuse...
The conditions, maybe?
Possibly. I think maybe it did hit a divot or something, but there was a player just in front of him, so maybe that put him off slightly, I don't know. But honestly, I would have thought just, you know, it should have just been like a pinball, hit him and go in, and that should have been it, and we should have been in the lead. But then... He had another chance, you know, he cut inside, had a shot, which was deflected and ended up a bit tame. But, you know, his head was down, but he kept plugging away. And as much as I don't want him on the right, I thought he had a decent game yesterday, apart from that miss. And then really, you know, the goal, let's talk about, you know, what happened was leading up to it was that Garbett actually hit the advertising boards about 5 minutes before the substitution. And we've been having an awful lot of pressure. I mean, I haven't watched the game back, but we must have had a good 10 minutes where we were just camped in their half. And,
totally, yep.
You know, O'Hara and Kearney totally controlling that midfield and getting the ball wide. The frustrating bit was that, you know, we were getting the ball to Christensen quite a bit, but he wouldn't go on the outside, he wouldn't get to the byline. And so when we go back to talking about being a bit slow and not being positive enough, that was one downside. But we were possibly looking for that perfect final ball again, and instead of maybe gambling a couple of times. But, yeah, so all this pressure, and then he makes the double substitution, one for Garbett, because he is injured, so Ream coming on, that made perfect sense. And then Matilla coming on, which I've seen questioned. He came on for Kaká. My feeling is that, and what I saw happen was Kearney went over on the right, Matilla sat, and O'Hara then pushed forward a lot more. And admittedly, they did score a few minutes after that.
Right.
We'll talk about the instances. But as an idea to change it to go for the win, it made sense to me. I mean, you could have argued about bringing Smith on or other things, but I could see what he was trying to do. But, yeah, let's talk about the goal. Well, yeah, it was never a foul by Hutchinson. It was a
never
proper shoulder barge. Yeah, I mean, that blows a man mountain anyway. So to knock him over, you know, well done Hutchinson there. But, yeah, it was never a free kick. And they put the free kick in. It's headed out, be it, which, you know, be it Lee, be it Richards. I mean, I looked at it, I think it's the back of Richards' head. You think it's Lee. You know, it's these things happen. I mean,
right.
They had the throw, they took it, the ball ends up in the middle, and it comes out again, and we don't close down. I think it's Tim Ream. It's difficult to see the number. I'm pretty sure it's Tim Ream who doesn't close him down enough. and it sort of bounces in, and it's really frustrating. And, you know, we're 2-1 down, and, you know, we continued with a bit more pressure for a little bit after that, and some half chances, and, you know, Ross having a shot, Matilla has a shot as well. You know, but we did go a bit flat. It was almost like, you know, they're taking the air out of the tyre, you know, by scoring that goal. And for the last 10 minutes, I couldn't see it. It was a real struggle. We, you know, we put so much effort in. And it's interesting that Jukanovic has mentioned that we run out of steam, or, you know, fitness-wise.
He did say that, you're right. And
I think that's where people are getting confused about the subs. They're saying it was a defensive sub. I think it was an attacking sub, but we just ran out of steam as well. And our heads went down a little bit. You know, it's just not going to be our day. But I have to look back and say, you know, overall, we gave everything we could. Finishing should have been better. Final ball, quickness of mind. But, you know, we gave it a good go, and we're unlucky, and we could have come away with a win. If we'd won, I don't think a Sheffield Wednesday fan would have said they'd been hard done by, because we were the better side, and that's the positive you have to take. And I'll talk about individual players later. But as a team performance, if that's what he wants us to do, which is keep the ball, pressure, you know, play higher up the field, then I'm all for it. And a win will come, and we're going in the right direction.
See, that's where I'm coming from, Mike. It's the approach. The approach has changed. You know, I know where he had him going back to basics the way that you described in the beginning, but it's working on things, but it's the approach, the intent. I can see a difference here, and it's going to take some time. But if they continue with the approach, and I like the approach, I think we're going to start seeing the points come. It's just a matter of when. They just have to keep doing what he is asking them to do, and I think the victories will start to come, the draws will start to come again. But more importantly, it's building on this, and then eventually the victories should come. I believe Tom Kearney talked about that in an article that I read, that some quotes from him, he talked about that, you know, that the victories will come. And I truly believe that as well, because I can see what he's trying to do. It's just a matter of time. That's the way I look at it. Before we go on and we look at the stats, Mike, I want to just bring up one thing, because we're talking about the end of the match, and you did mention that Fulham were running out of steam. But I'm going to say this, because, again, we've seen this now in a few matches with Sheffield Wednesday. If anyone complains about time wasting from Fulham, can they please talk about Sheffield Wednesday's time wasting, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, they're very professional at it. And, considering the I've forgotten what team it was that moaned about us, but, we're nowhere near as bad as them. And I think some of their fans weren't that impressed either by their gamesmanship at times, it was irritating, and the ref didn't put enough time on it. I think we only played 3 minutes, and certainly should have been more than that. There was a couple of longer stoppages, we should have had 5 minutes maybe. If that would have made any difference, who knows? But you know,
overall, well, that's the point.
I thought the ref did okay yesterday. He gave us a couple of bookings, but I think they were fair. But what he did get wrong was the free kick against Hutchinson. I thought he was fine.
Okay, very good. All right, Mike, let's transition. Let's look at the stats. And again, obviously, I will start with possession. And Fulham had 58% of the possession to 42. But this, to me, these next two stats is what really shows me how Fulham played in this match. Total shots, 14 for Fulham, 7 for Sheffield Wednesday. This is the big one. On target, 6 for Fulham, 2 for Sheffield Wednesday. Shooting accuracy, 43% for Fulham, 29% for Sheffield Wednesday. We're even on corners at 5 apiece. We're even on crosses at 7 apiece. Fouls, we were at 10, they were at 7. Okay, Mike, those were the stats that I saw. What do you make of the stats?
Yeah, I mean, for us to outshoot a team away from home and on target is an improvement. You know, we've had plenty of games where we've had one shot on target. I mean, we are the top goal scorers, but as I said to someone yesterday, our actual shots to, you know, goal ratio is quite high. So it's above the average. So really, you know, we're being quite, I don't know if lucky is the right word, but we're getting a good percentage of goals to the shots we're having when really it should be, we need to create more. And that's what was pleasing for me yesterday. You know, Kaká missed, fine, okay. Dembélé missed, right. But there's been games where we're not creating any chances at all. Clear cut. You know, we've been relying on Ross McCormick, 35-yard free kicks and things. So to actually see chances created, that, again, it's, you know, it's another positive from yesterday because we're not doing that enough. You need to create 6, 7, 8 chances a game, really.
I totally agree with that, Mike. And on top of that, goes back to something that I remember that the Fulham head coach mentioned, talking about off the ball and the movement, and I saw an improvement in that. You know, again, getting into more dangerous areas like you're talking about, obviously we have more shots on target, so that is definitely a telling thing right now, is that there is improvement. I know it's only 2 matches, but I've watched back both of the matches, and I see improvement, and that's what I want to see from match to match. I want to see them get better and better, and hopefully as they continue to improve, the points will come. All right, Mike,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to rate the players or not, but we can, but if you would rather just break down the players individually, feel free to. I'll leave that up to you, but let's go through the team.
Yeah, I just come back to one thing, though, Russ, what we're talking about is, you know, there are lots of improvements yesterday. We're not there yet. We're nowhere near it. I don't even think we're 50% near it. Yes, the movement is better, but it can improve. And like I said, you know, we need to be a bit quicker in mind and body at times. And so a long way to go, but it's step by step. So, you know, it's not all sweetness and light, but you know, we can't ask for much more a week and a half into Djokanovic's reign, really.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, Mike, let's go through the team because I'm curious your thoughts on individual players, and then I definitely want to get your thoughts on the Fulham head coach.
Okay, I'm not going to rate the players, Russ, but I'll...
That's fine, that's not a problem.
I will give each player a, you know, sort of mini review, if you like. So Lonergan, and I think it's good he stuck with him, and he had no chance for the first goal. I haven't seen any comments from David, but, you know, being a goalkeeper, he's ultra critical. But I don't see any way he was going to stop that first one. The second one, okay, it was right to, you know, it was to his far right, but it wasn't hit that cleanly, so could he have done better? Maybe. Was he unsighted? I'm not sure. But overall, I thought his distribution was good. He was definitely looking at getting rid of the ball more. And there was a slight increase in trying to play the ball out, you know, give it to Byrne or to Hutchison and try and build from there. Or even O'Hara picked up a couple of times as well. So I'd much prefer that than just knocking the ball along. So he did everything that was asked of him. I think, you know, he may have made one more save maybe, but really he had, I thought he had a good day yesterday, Lonergan. With the fullbacks, Richards was one of his better games. You know, he's always going to have the habit of cutting inside, and he did get booked early on, and the player was getting away from him, and he pulled him back. And so if you're not watching, you automatically think, oh, yeah, that's typical Richards. But it was a cairny bad pass. He played it behind him, and it went to the player. And so Richards had to make up the ground and, you know, got booked. So that wasn't really his fault. And then he did a couple of good crosses, linked up well with Kaká, and generally had a decent game. I mean, you know, they do have quite quick wide men, and you know, he got past him a couple of times, but overall decent game from Richards, really. And Garbett, he had the hardest job, you know, looking after Wallace. Didn't get down the left as much, and when he did, he got a couple of balls in, didn't create that much. But him and LVC, it looked as if what he's trying to do with Kaká and LVC is let the fullbacks get forward, but they, you know, if they don't, then we're struggling to, you know, get a cross in. So he did his job, got injured, got replaced, obviously. He did okay. He kept Wallace fairly quiet. Hutchison and Byrne, right? Well, that's an interesting one. So we've been saying about wanting to see them.
I want to know what you think about their performances, Mike, definitely.
Okay, well, I'll start with Byrne. And I thought Byrne was excellent yesterday. I thought there were times, especially in the second half, when he was just, you know, stopping everything and you know, putting 110% effort in. And I don't know if that came across on the TV watching it, Russ, but certainly, I didn't really see him put too many feet wrong yesterday. And if I was going to go for a man in a match, it's probably between him and O'Hara. But, I thought it was a really top performance. Hutchison, I'll go with the bad things first. Well, the bad thing is his passing. He, especially in the first half, I don't know what he does, whether he's putting backspin on it or he's just not concentrating. He's either putting it, either underhits it or overhits it. He pings them at the player. And that's if it reaches the player, because it's either going behind or in front. So, every time he had it and they were closing him down, I was panicking a bit. But, on the plus side, he got a header at the corner. We all know he's someone who's going to throw himself around. Unfortunately, the one time he didn't was for the goal. But overall, I thought him and Byrne, played reasonably well together, and we weren't troubled. So the whole back four, you've got to say, pretty much did their job. And the chances they had, especially second half, late in the game, was because we were chasing, and you saw Byrne cleaning up behind Ream, and we almost had just two defenders at times for that last 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, very good there, Mike. I appreciate your feedback on that. What's interesting, and be curious your thoughts on this, because I like the fact that he played them both together, and David will agree with me, and I have a feeling you will as well. I like the fact that the two of them were in this match because I'm hoping that he saw enough. I'm talking about Jokanović, whatever you want to say, that he will then try at some point 3-5-2.
I think that's got to be a lot of our certainly cottage talks view, isn't it? I mean, we're flying the flag. We're flying the flag for that, aren't we? So
yes.
I would not be unhappy to see them both start on Tuesday. I think he will change it because, it was a hard game yesterday, heavy pitch.
Yep.
It's going to be cold and heavy on Tuesday as well, I suspect. So, for me, we've come out of that and, it's a back five, all British back five. And, they did really well. They did really well.
Okay.
So, it's Stearman going to come. I think he will get his old side. He's going to come back, isn't he? And but who for? That's going to be the question, really. I think it will be for Hutchison, basically because he's right-footed and you want a left-footed player on the pitch as well. But, good back four. But,
okay.
I mean, going into midfield, Russ?
Yes.
I've already spoken about, Kaká on the right. I thought he did well. I thought he was unlucky to come off, really. And but he's going to be remembered for missing the golden chance, and already you see people, saying some out-of-order stuff online, really. I mean, maybe he's not a young lad anymore in that sense of the word, but, he's... I still have a bit of faith in him, and I still think he's a good player there. And it was just one of those things yesterday. He just, he was unable to finish it. LBC, for me, the main positive is he played 90 minutes. Left side midfield, no, not for me. But he showed, the best he's played probably this season, fully fit by the looks of it, trying some of his little tricks that he does. Linked up well with O'Hara and Kearney at times. And so a real positive. And it would be nice to see him in central midfield. That's where That's where I think his energy could replace Tunnicliffe's, which is what we're missing. And, you know, the drive forward, which LBC has. For the central midfielders.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go on.
No, I was going to say, Mike, because that was going to lead me to ask you about the guys in the middle, because I agree with you on LVC, because you had already mentioned earlier that Kearney, for you, is you would prefer him in a three-man middle. So talk about how he fared along with O'Hara. You mentioned that you thought O'Hara could have been the man of the match.
Yeah, and while I'm talking about this, I'm going to give it to O'Hara, actually, as man of the match, really. He was playing that deep role again. He was playing as well as he'd done earlier in the season. And it must be a little bit difficult for him in there with Kearney. Kearney's not going to get the tackles in. Kearney is, you know, he's a 1-2-touch player. He's got a touch of the Parkers about him yesterday where he would get it and sort of go in a circle. And he did make a couple of mistakes. I think he finds himself a little bit too rushed at times in the middle. And I'm not sold on him in a two at all. But he did okay. And, you know, his work for the goal was excellent. And another chance later as well. But there were times when he lost the ball quite easily. Some of his passing did go astray. And he's the one who sums up for me the lack of confidence. So there were plenty of times in the second half where he had the ball, especially over on the right-hand side or the sort of right half of the pitch. And you just wanted him to, yeah, go and play it, go forward, run with it, or, you know, get the pass in. And he would stop and turn around. And so whether that's not trusting other players, whether that's lack of confidence in his own passing on the day, I don't know. But he is a good player. He's, you know, one of the better signings from the summer. And we need to find a way to get the best out of him, because if he clicks, then I think we click as well. So interesting having the two together. I would not want to see it on Tuesday because I think Wolves would overpower him. But yesterday, both of them ran the show, really.
Okay, and talking about Kearney, is a good word to describe his performance, Mike, tentative? Would that be the right word to describe?
At times, yes. I mean, it's difficult to say because you see the goal and you think, yes, that's what you want him to do. Beat one, beat two, get the pass through. And he can do it, but then you must have seen it, Russ, you know, a good number of times where you thought he had the chance to do that again, and he stops. And
he stopped, exactly. That's the reason why I was thinking of the word tentative. It's almost a lack of trust maybe in himself or potentially his teammates. I don't know, but he just seems, instead of going, he's stopping. That, to me, is someone that's been a little tentative, maybe lacking confidence.
Yeah, you know, and he's had an injury, and I wonder how much, you know, it's all right saying you're fit, but players, you know, I've done it myself. You have an injury and you play within yourself sometimes. And, you know, maybe there's a bit of that. Maybe there's also, you know, we all would agree his natural game is not to go and close people down and work really hard, you know, bustling around. But, you know, maybe he's finding that a bit of a change as well. But so a mixed tentative performance. One brilliant highlight, but a few black marks against him for me.
Okay, and let's move forward. Before we talk about the strikers up front, I definitely want to get your thoughts on them. I want to focus on the middle. Your Jokanović on Tuesday, if you do play a 4-4-2, who would be your two in the middle?
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
It is, Mike.
If Heidman missed yesterday for a niggly injury. I mean, I don't know if that means he's going to miss Tuesdays. I would like to see O'Hara and Heidman play.
So would I.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not confident. It's funny talking about not having Kearney and then against Wolves, but I'd rather have Heidman. But I'd rather have Heidman because I think he's a little bit trickier. And he seems to make so much time for himself.
Do you think him and O'Hara complement each other, Mike? Because like you mentioned, one can do the the spraying of the passes and the other can create with those more integral passes.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly that's the way those two can play. One's a long ball pass, and the other one's a short one. And but I actually think against Wolves, we'll see Matilla come in. I think we might see something like last week, where he sits in front of the back four, and we have two midfielders. So I would be a bit surprised if we actually play 4-4-2 on Tuesday. But yeah, I would go with Heidman. But I think if he does go 4-4-2, I think it'd be Matilla and O'Hara. Because I don't think O'Hara deserves to be dropped after yesterday's performance. That's for sure.
I totally agree with you there. All right, let's talk about the strikers up front, Mike.
Well, Woodrow can't really say much. He didn't really have any time to get involved in the game. Send our best wishes to him, and hopefully he'll have a quick recovery. Then Bealey, who came on to replace him, and obviously got the goal, had a couple of half chances, had the header. You know, so he was getting in the right position. I'm ultra... sort of protective of him, but I have to admit, yesterday I was a little bit disappointed at times. I thought he could have moved a bit more. So all the criticisms that people have been aiming at him recently, I would possibly share with yesterday. He could have done a bit more. It might have been instructions, stay in the centre box, you know, in that sort of centre 30-yard area, in front of goal, and don't deviate from it and let Ross do the other movement. But the important thing was he got the goal, and he was, he did get in some decent positions. But I just felt there at times, just do a bit more. And so he comes out of the game, and I'm a little bit disappointed with him. And Ross was Ross. He, some really good stuff. He worked bloody hard yesterday. He certainly did. He worked that line. He was left and right. Didn't drop that deep, which was good to see. And, if you're a team having loads of pressure, you want to see him on the, on the centre-back's shoulder and looking to get through. And, he did well, made the run, got the cross in, or the shot in, which eventually led to the goal. Thought he could have done better with that chance just for half-time. And, and then a couple of... long-range chances as well. So a good performance by him. And again, we'll be interested to see what happens on Tuesday. Do you go with Matt Smith against Wolves, who we know what they're like, or do you stick with Dembele and McCormick? So choices are plenty for for Djokanovic.
Absolutely. Mike, before I get your thoughts on the Fulham head coach, David wants me to mention a couple things to you that will interest you. He's been messaging me. He said, clean sheet for Jack Rimmer at Shrewsbury win at Cardiff. Tell Mike he'll be delighted. The stats suggested Cardiff were robbed, though. 26 shots, 7 on target against 9 shots, 2 on target. Both Rimmer and Cole played 90 minutes.
I know, and I've been watching it, Russ. It's on Welsh TV. I've got the sound down because they're all talking Welsh anyway, so it didn't really make any difference. But I was, of course, watching my boy Jack play, and he was playing very well.
That's great. David's been messaging me. He's like, you have to tell Mike. You have to tell him. I said, I will tell him before we wrap up the show.
Well, I will message him and tell him I've been watching it. So... yeah, good to see Cardiff go out. But I'll just finish off with the sub. So I've already mentioned Dembele.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Matilla
came on, sat in front of the back four, made a couple of little mistakes, but I said, it was virtually just two defenders, plus him at times. And he does exactly what it says on the tin with him. He just sits, had that long-range shot, and not a lot else. The crowd got annoyed with him right towards the end of the game. He did two sort of silly kick-outs or clearances, which went for throw-ins when really we wanted to keep the ball on the pitch. So he needs to be a bit calmer in those situations. And Reem had a bit of an odd 20 minutes. He seemed to always be struggling or always stretching for the ball or last-ditch sort of interceptions and tackles. So, yeah, it was strange performance, I thought, from Reem. But, you know, he did adequate, you know, apart from, you know, I think he could have closed down the strike for the second goal, but it only just come on, so maybe he was, you know, just still getting up to speed.
Okay, very good, Mike. All right, let's finish off talking about Slavisa.
Okay, so second game, same team he's played against. So it's, you know, two defeats, so there's no bounce, no manager's bounce from this, but we've been talking about it all through the show. It's little steps, little changes and improvements. Downside is inverted wide men, I'm not keen on. And, you know, so he's, it's a little bit of a black mark against him there. But, you know, overall, what you've got to say is that what he's inherited, you can tell doesn't quite have the attributes that he wants. But we're slowly seeing changes, and we've got some hard games coming up, and we've just got to see an improvement Tuesday to, you know, get any kind of result will be good. And then if I was targeting a win, it's got to be next Saturday. Well, Tuesday, you want to win Tuesday, but
sure.
Really next Saturday is a proper test of, you know, what's he's able to get over to the team and inspire us for a win. And if we can get 4 points from the next two games, I'll be very happy.
So would I, and that's...
I gave him a six last week, average. I've got to give him a seven because, you know, we lost, but there were improvements. We were the better side, and we were extremely unlucky not to come away with a draw in a game we should have won.
Okay, very good, Mike. And I was just going to add that I agree with you on the 4 points. That, to me... is my target for the next two matches. That would be fantastic if they could come out with 4 points. I would love it if they got three against Wolves, but I would take a point against Wolves. And they should really be targeting that Huddersfield Town match because I think that's a definite winnable match on the road. I definitely think so. All right, Mike, let's wrap up this show. Any final thoughts before we go?
I'm going to be intrigued to see the team he puts out on Tuesday. And I think we will see a couple of changes. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a change in formation as well. So I think the days are gone where we've got a manager who's going to stick with the same formation every game. I think we're going to see it change quite a lot. So in the pre-match shows, I think some of us are going to struggle to pick the 11, let alone the formations. But we lost... It's disappointing, lots of positives, and we take it into the next game, which hopefully we can get something from.
I agree with that, Mike. Listen, great show. Thank you so much for joining me, my friend. We got to wrap it up. We got a little less than a minute. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk Extra Time. Cheers, Mike, and thank you very much.
Cheers, Russ. Until next time.
Okay. Boys and